learning this week about Zechiah, the principle of Zachlam Shlobafanov, that usually that principle means if I want to give something to somebody, I want to give it to him, zak it to him via a third party, I can do so. The third party can set himself up on his own as an agent of the recipient because it's chus for him. So Zechiah is a form of shlichus, maybe not a form of shlichus, but it's like shlichus. The Zelcha can act on his own on behalf of the recipient because it's chus. And we're discussing this week whether this principle of Zechiah can be extended and generalized to cover not just giving things to people, but even performing other transactions on behalf of people, giving a get, selling chametz. We discussed Monday the opinion of several, many poskim who have said that that is a valid extension of Zechiah, and you can actually, a Rav can actually sell chametz for someone who never even spoke to the Rav, never even saw the Rav, on the grounds that it's a chus, it's good for him to sell his chametz, he doesn't violate Bali Rabbi Matzah, his chametz stays kosher and Jews can buy it from him, so it's a chus. Many poskim have argued that that's a valid extension of Zechiah. We mentioned that this is a big question in Hilchos Gittin. Very often, if you don't have a proper, not often, hopefully, thankfully, but sometimes you don't have a proper appointment of a shliach by the husband, you want to use Zechiah, some people to act on behalf of the husband and do a get for him. So many poskim have argued that Zechiah works there too. I mentioned the case of the PVS get out of Eretz Yisrael, where the Beis Din on its own wrote a get on behalf of someone who was in a persistent vegetative state. Very controversial case, but they have an exhaustive discussion of this question, probably the most comprehensive discussion, except for the ones who responded to them, possibly, up to date, of whether you can do Zechiah. They argued at length that many, many poskim, including many in the context of Mechiras Chametz, allowed the use of Zechiah to do such things, to act on behalf of someone when we deem it as chus for him. So, in Mechiras Chametz, this is relevant in general when someone just doesn't go to the Rav for some reason, forgot, is not interested, doesn't go to the Rav. It also helps in certain cases where, for some reason, the going to the Rav, something went wrong, and the Minu Shlichus doesn't work. As I mentioned briefly on Monday, one case where this comes up, which is much discussed by the Acharonim, is, let's say the person went to the Rav to sell Chametz a week before Pesach, tells the Rav, I'm making you a Shliach to sell all my Chametz. Subsequently, he buys more chametz, gets a new shipment, if he's a business, he just buys a new loaf of bread and doesn't finish it before Pesach. Now he has new chametz. So the question is, can that chametz be included in the sale? The Rav is not going to sell till Erev Pesach, where he already owns all his chametz. Anything that he has is already owned. But the appointment to the Rav was a week earlier, when he didn't yet own the chametz. So does that appointment work? So we mentioned, we have the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say, any transaction that a person cannot do right now, we cannot appoint an agent to do either, even if the agent will only be doing it at a time where he could do it, or if the appointment of the shliach was at a time that he can't do it, then the shlichus doesn't work. And Mamela, a number of 19th century achronim raised the question, how can the appointment of the Rav to sell chametz work on chametz that wasn't owned at the time of the appointment? He couldn't sell the chametz back then, so the appointment of the agent shouldn't be valid, so it's like he didn't go to the Rav for that chametz. So how can the Rav sell that chametz later?
Doesn't it depend upon what the buyer thinks that they're getting?
So we're going to assume the buyer knows what he's getting. The minhag generally is, we write explicitly in the shtar that any chametz, including chametz, sometimes at least they write including chametz that wasn't yet in the possession of the buyer, of the seller at the time of the appointment.
That's a good deal.
In the earlier mechiras, very often they were selling specific chametz. Very often if a businessman knew he was getting a shipment, he would say, in 3 days from now, I'll be getting a shipment of 200 pounds of flour. I want that to be included in the sale. Today, we often don't enumerate, or we rely on the catch-alls. You're right, I want the sale to include all chametz, even the chametz that I don't own yet.
But it's not a question of the sale, it's a question of the appointment.
Right. You're authorizing the Rav to make a sale on, you say, the seller will be getting 200 pounds of chametz in 2 days from now. I hereby authorize you. You'll be selling it after that delivery comes in. I hereby authorize you to include that in the sale. Or the way we do it, you just write a catch-all. I hereby, a week before Pesach, authorize the Rav to sell all chametz, even the chametz that I don't own yet, that I will be buying over the next week between now and the time that you sell. And the Acharonim argue that you can't do that because you couldn't sell it today. If you tried to sell directly to the guy today, you couldn't do that. You couldn't sell that chametz. So what then? The Minu Shlichus shouldn't work on that chametz.
I was going to say, is that like being... can't be mocked in the dumb.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. If you yourself tried to contract such a sale today, it wouldn't work because that would be called Davar Shlo Bala Olam, Davar Sheinu Rishuso, Davar Shlo Bala Olam. It wouldn't work, and therefore the Minu Shlichus shouldn't work either. So first of all, right off the bat, we should note one possible Tzad Heter is a Shita of the Marit. The Marit denies that this principle actually exists. Marit says that we saw that Gemara. The Gemara says that anything you can't do, you can't make a shliach for. The Marit says what the Gemara really means. You have to see the whole Gemara in context and read the Gemara carefully and read the whole Marit and other Acharonim. But the Marit says what the Gemara really means is that by default, you don't mean to make a shliach on something that you don't yet have access to. The Gemara there was talking about a case of a person who appointed a shliach to marry a woman without specifying whom. And the question is, are we choshesh that the shliach married someone, even a woman who at the time of the minhag was an ervatim and became not an erva later? The Gemara comes out that since you yourself couldn't have married her then the shliach can't marry her for you either, even later when she becomes not an erva. Most poskim understand that means it's a din. The shlichus wasn't valid regarding any woman who you couldn't have contracted marriage with at the time of the appointment. Marit learns it just means by default we don't assume that you authorized him to marry that woman, but if you explicitly say that you do, that would be fine, and therefore chametz would be fine because we explicitly authorize the Rav to sell chametz, even other chametz. The problem is that most poskim don't accept the Marit. The Marit is something of a das yachin here, I think. Certainly all that Acharonim who raise this question are taking for granted that the Marit is not correct. So the question is, what are the heterim? What justifications do we have for allowing the Rav to sell even chametz that was bought afterwards? So some poskim actually said you really shouldn't, that if you buy more chametz, you should go back to the Rav later. Rabbi Yantif initially said that he thinks that's the right thing to do. Then people came to me, says, the Rabbanim told him that it was very difficult, it wasn't practical. People came from out of town, from villages, and they couldn't go back to the Rav afterward, so they looked for heterim. So there are a handful of heterim given by the poskim. None of them maybe are slam dunks, but the poskim, one way or another, tend to rely on a group of heterim. One of them is the one we've been discussing all week, and that's the idea of zechiah. That even if the minhag shlichus is not good, but clearly it's a schus for you. Mechiras chametz is always a schus by the time it gets around, right before Pesach, there's nothing else you can do at this point but sell it, unless you throw it away, and that's not a good idea for you. You authorize the Rav to sell it, you clearly show that you want to sell it, so even if for technical, formal reasons, it's not going to work on what we call technicalities, because the minhag shlichus didn't work, but clearly the context plus your gilui das clearly shows that you want it, so the Rav will sell it as a zechiah. The Rav will do it as a form of zechiah. So we mentioned zechiah is not muskim, but so is Merkavis and Mishnah. There are Acharonim who say zechiah cannot be extended to such context. But again, most Acharonim, Rabbi Yisrael Chanan, Spector, and others have said that we do allow such a mechira. So that's one, obviously, major tzad heter to allow such a mechira on the grounds that even if the shlichus does not work, it can still work as a form of zechiah. Another approach is that of the Oneg Yom Tov. He mentions the following idea. He says, the halacha is, I can't sell Dovr Shloba La'olam, as you said. If I try to sell you a field that I don't own yet, I say I'm planning on closing on this house in a month, I want to sell it to you right now. Halacha is, you can't do that. You can't sell property. You don't. Even if, according to many posts, even if you say it should take effect later, it doesn't work. If you don't own it now, you cannot enter into any transactions regarding that property. You have to redo the sale later. However, the Gemara says that if the buyer, in spite of the fact that the halacha is it doesn't work, if the buyer took possession of the property from you, after you closed on it, he then went ahead, gave it, he then said, okay, I bought it, so I think, as far as I know, the sale is valid, so he took possession of the property, he then began to eat the peiros, and then you say, wait a second, I just learned this Gemara, the Gemara says the sale is not valid, so give me back all the peiros, I'll give you back your money, but give me back all the peiros that you took. So the halacha is the buyer can keep the peiros, and basically, the Gemara says it's a form of mechila. The Gemara says, Nechale deleku behem nuse. You yourself do have the halachic right to back out of the sale. You can argue it technically wasn't valid because when you did it, it was lo bala olam. By doing that, you would be a dishonorable person. You'd be breaking your word. A person, by default, is assumed to want to keep his word. So we assume that you were mochel all the peiros that he ate. As long as he took peiros and ate them, each one, you were mochel because you didn't plan on reneging on your commitment. Says that on a Yom Tov. So some posts use the Lashon Mechila. Mechila only works on peiros you already ate, now you wanted to pay for them, you were mochel already. But some posts can apparently say that it's more than Mechila, it's an actual kinyan, that it as soon as the property came into your possession, if you then let him take the property, Metaltalin, you then are making an implicit das kinyan, you're allowing him to be koneh now.
As of Mechila's chametz, he doesn't really take the property.
So that's a good point. So the first step of the argument is if the guy would actually come along and take the chametz, then you would say, let's say, forget the shliach. Let's say you would say for a minute, I'm hereby selling to you the guy the chametz. I don't own it yet, but I will be buying it tomorrow, and I'm selling it to you, which should take effect after as soon as I buy it. And then the guy comes along on that assumption and takes possession of the chametz. So at that point, you would be mochel the chametz, and therefore the shlichus works too, the owning out of the suits. Now, that's not so pasha, just because you could do it, just because if you did it, there would be a mechila then, who says the shlichus works. He somehow assumes that that would be grounds for the shlichus working too. And even though the guy does not actually take physical possession of the chametz, so we do mechiras chametz, of course, the guy never takes physical possession of the chametz, says the owning out of, we can solve that problem too, due to the fact that we sell or rent the places where the chametz is, Chiras Rishus or Mechiras Rishus. So that's called the guy has possession. Since the guy owns the chatzer, and in his case he was talking about a case where all the chametz is going to be in the same warehouse or the same room. So you're selling this room, this closet, as of today, and all the chametz that's there now, and all the chametz that I will eventually put into it by Pesach. So since when you then buy the chametz and put it in, at that point, the guy then is counting the chametz based on this din, that because of Nechel Adeleku Bemnuse and because of Bal Yerad, it's clear that you want it to work, so then the guy is counting. But since, Hitaka says, since if you want to do this Mahalach, the Iker Kinyan will have to only be the Kinyan Chatzer, because the Kinyanim you're doing today are not really going to work, because they can't take effect yet. It's only the Kinyanim of later. The Mele, he says, you better make sure the Chatzer works, and Chatzer, as we discussed, is not so Pashut, Chatzer for a guy, so he gets into that question a little bit. That's his basic approach, that since even Darvash Shlomo La'olam can work if he takes possession, so we can structure Mechiras Chametz in such a way that it's considered that the guy is taking possession.
Where is the Kinyan Chatzar?
The guy owns the place in which the Chametz is located. He owns it either, you rented it to him temporarily, or you sold it to him, and he's going to buy it back, but he owns that closet or that room, that building, so that's the Kinyan Chatzar. We do that anyway from Mechiras Chametz, but here it helps you for this idea. There are several other Mahalchim that are proposed by the Achronim. One is that Tosfos on that Gemara Nazir, Tosfos says it's Maisim B'chol Yom, that a woman will appoint someone else to take challah off dough even before the dough is made. So the question again becomes, how can you do that? I can't take off challah before I make the dough. How can I appoint someone? How can I tell someone, authorize someone else to take off challah before the dough is made? So Tosfos has, and the Gemara says shlichus doesn't work in such a case. Tosfos talks about a svara of biyadu. Since it's biyadi of me to get other dough right now and to then make this dough, that's all biyadi. So kol she biyadu lav mechus or maisa. Since it's biyadu, it's not subject to the problem of darvash lo ba'olam or of doing something that requires more that doesn't really work until sometime in the future. Some poskim argue that Mechiras Chametz is also biyadu. It's biyadu for me to buy the Chametz, even though I have to have a cooperating seller. Some poskim argue that's called biyadu, and therefore it is really possible to sell Chametz even today, or to appoint a shliach today, because it's biyadu to do it. Even though Tosfos himself is not so sure that this really works, it's biyadu, but perhaps as an idea. Something which, normally something is called darvash lo ba'olam if it requires a change in status before the transaction would work. Not mine yet, it will be mine, someone will die and give it to me, but here something which is totally in your control to do, that even though buying the chametz needs someone else to cooperate, but since it's like a standard items which are readily available on the market, so it's just considered biyado, so therefore the rules of Darvash Lo Ba'olam are suspended.
There's no
suffix. Yeah, right. It's not, right. Darvash Lo Ba'olam, the Gemara often talks about how many sveikas there are and how tenuous it is, and that this is considered vaday, it's considered more than vaday, biyado, it's in your control. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agav, I should mention, there's a major debate, I couldn't find sources on it, but there's a major debate, this question about how to take off challah, which Tosfos talks about, the tradition in the Maamar Kamos, the major debate, what to do in bakeries. Bakeries, commercial bakeries, need to take off challah. So the problem is, you can't take off challah until the dough is made. So the best way to do it, ideally, is to have the mashgiach who takes off challah every day, or every year, every time they bake bread. The question is, who's authorizing the mashgiach to take off challah? So, mashgiach obviously is hired, has an agreement with the bakery. How often does he talk to the bakery owner? He gets hired and he works for days at a time. I don't know if he meets the bakery owner every day. So you have to say that you're relying on the appointment of the bakery owner. I'm authorizing you to take off challah. Who says you can authorize a mashgiach to take off challah from bread that hasn't even been mixed yet, that the flour is still, you haven't even bought the flour yet, maybe, except for some of the stuff he's taking off. So who says you can do that? So again, if it's Zechiah might be one approach. If you have this approach with Biyado, that might be another approach. But this is a real headache that the bakeries have to deal with. How do you appoint the Mashgiach? Unless the Mashgiach actually wants to call the owner every time he takes off challah, so I'm about to take off challah for the current dough, please authorize me, which is obviously going to be difficult. You're going to have one of the various heterim, one of the various heterim that we are discussing today. There are several other suggestions of various, late achronim for how we get around this problem of A, sale today would be lo bala olam, B, anything I can't do, a shliach can't do either. One interesting suggestion, involves a very interesting lamdush, but somewhat controversial idea, is that some achronim say, some rishonim even, some poskim say in various cases, that even though normally dovash lo bala olam doesn't work, if you really, really mean it, then it works. So one of the poskim brings is a mabit, I think he says, who says if a person gives dovash lo bala olam to his son, to a child, a person really, really likes to give things to his children, so he really, really means it, so it works. The similar halacha, when two people exchange davar shel bala olam, some rishonim say, agav debayil mikni, gamar makni, since it's a two-way street, I want to get what you're giving me, and I want to, like a shutfus type of situation, and you want to get what I'm giving you, so each of us determines that we have gemiras das, we really want to do it. This seems to imply that the problem of davar shel bala olam is not some kind of objective lumdish problem, it's a problem in gemiras das, which again is debated by the achronim. But the fact is there are some poskim who say this, that the problem of davar shel bala olam, however you want to understand the lumdus, can be solved by a unusually strong or one-sided, unequivocal gemiras das. Some poskim, so therefore there is one poskim that proposes l'chiras chametz, everyone really, really wants the sale to go through. Because, first of all, because you're going to get it back, and you're not losing anything, and second, because otherwise you're over Bal Yerah, and every Jew really wants not to be over Bal Yerah, not to have his Chametz Aser, which is really a transaction that no one has any qualms or second thoughts about. So here, the Gemira's Das that you have is enough to solve the problem of Dovar Shel Bala Olam. Another approach is that there are certain ways of structuring Dovar Shel Bala Olam in ways that work. Now, it's not so simple that there really are any such ways. One of the posik who's trying to argue this, the Chemed Bring, says, well, if you're mechayev yourself on a davar shel bala olam, if you say, I hereby have a personal hischayvus to give it to you, the field I'm going to buy, when I buy it, I am hereby mischayev myself today to give it to you, that works. You can't be machin a davar shel bala olam, you can be mischayev yourself regarding a davar shel bala olam. As you can see, he says you can do a davar shel bala olam, alidei hischayvus. A little hard to hear because you can't sell it. You can mechayev yourself. So I don't know why that helps solve the problem of davar shel bala olam. For Pesach, you need to actually sell it. Mechayev yourself is not enough. So I don't know how the fact that you could be mechayev yourself enables you to sell it or make a shliach to sell it. I don't know how that solves the problem.
Isn't it like Peres HaDekel that they will come and therefore you?
Peres HaDekel will come, but it's still considered lava olam unless you say Dekel Perosim, which is a special approach. But Peres HaDekel, or the Gemara says you're not sure they'll come, but Peres HaDekel is one of the classic cases of davar shel bala olam. So Akalpanim, so these are some of the approaches given by the Achronim. As we've seen, none of them is really a slam dunk. Some of them are explicit machlokes in the poskim, some of them are ingenious. So many poskim seem to say, ideally, one should really go back to the Rav, sell chametz as late as he can if he's expecting deliveries, but certainly b'di'eved, it seems there are many svaras, many shitas, that is yesh al milismach, the sale can be valid even for such chametz.